Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 2, The Beatitudes. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. As something strange and new, these words fall upon the ears of the wondering multitude. Such teaching is contrary to all they have ever heard from priest or rabbi. They see in it nothing to flatter their pride or to feed their ambitious hopes. But there is about this new teacher a power that holds them spellbound. The sweetness of divine love flows from his very presence as a fragrance from a flower. His words fall like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. All feel instinctively that here is one who reads the secrets of the soul, yet who comes near to them with tender compassion. Their hearts are open to him, and as they listen, the Holy Spirit unfolds to them something of the meaning of that lesson which humanity in all ages so needs to learn. In the days of Christ, the religious leaders of the people felt that they were rich in spiritual treasure. The spirit of the Pharisee, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, expressed the feeling of his class and to a great degree of the whole nation. But in the throng that surrounded Jesus, there were some who had a sense of their spiritual poverty. When in the miraculous draught of fishes, the divine power of Christ was revealed, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So in the multitude gathered upon the mount, there were souls who, in the presence of his purity, felt that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They long for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. In these souls, Christ's words of greeting awakened hope. They saw that their lives were under the benediction of God. Jesus had presented the cup of blessing to those who felt that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. and they had turned with scorn from the gracious gift. He who feels whole, who thinks that he is reasonably good and is contented with his condition, does not seek to become a partaker of the grace and righteousness of Christ. Pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. There is no room for Jesus in the heart of such a person. Those who are rich and honorable in their own eyes do not ask in faith and receive the blessing of God. They feel that they are full, therefore they go away empty. Those who know that they cannot possibly save themselves or of themselves do any righteous action are the ones who appreciate the help that Christ can bestow. They are the poor in spirit whom he declares to be blessed. Whom Christ pardons, he first makes penitent, and it is the office of the Holy Spirit to convince of sin. Those whose hearts have been moved by the convicting Spirit of God see that there is nothing good in themselves. They see that all they have ever done is mingled with self and sin. Like the poor publican, they stand afar off, not daring to lift up so much as their eyes to heaven and cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And they are blessed. There is forgiveness for the penitent, for Christ is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God's promise is, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A new heart also will I give you, and I will put my spirit within you. Of the poor in spirit, Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This kingdom is not, as Christ's hearers had hoped, a temporal and earthly dominion. Christ was opening to men the spiritual kingdom of his love, his grace, his righteousness. The ensign of the Messiah's reign is distinguished by the likeness of the Son of Man. His subjects are the poor in spirit, the meek, the persecuted for righteousness' sake. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Though not yet fully accomplished, the work is begun in them which will make them meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All who have a sense of their deep soul poverty, who feel that they have nothing good in themselves, may find righteousness and strength by looking unto Jesus. He says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He bids you exchange your poverty for the riches of his grace. We are not worthy of God's love, but Christ our surety is worthy and is abundantly able to save all who shall come unto him. Whatever may have been your past experience, however discouraging your present circumstances, if you will come to Jesus just as you are, weak, helpless, and despairing, our compassionate Savior will meet you a great way off and will throw about you his arms of love and his robe of righteousness. He presents us to the Father, clothed in the white raiment of his own character. He pleads before God in our behalf, saying, I have taken the sinner's place. Look not upon this wayward child, but look on me. Does Satan plead loudly against our souls, accusing of sin and claiming us as his prey? The blood of Christ pleads with greater power. Surely shall one say, In the Lord have I righteousness and strength. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The mourning here brought to view is true heart sorrow for sin. Jesus says, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me. And as one is drawn to behold Jesus uplifted on the cross, he discerns the sinfulness of humanity. He sees that it is sin which scourged and crucified the Lord of glory. He sees that while he has been loved with unspeakable tenderness, his life has been a continual scene of ingratitude and rebellion. He has forsaken his best friend and abused heaven's most precious gift. He has crucified to himself the Son of God afresh and pierced anew that bleeding and stricken heart. He is separated from God by a gulf of sin that is broad and black and deep, and he mourns in brokenness of heart. Such mourning shall be comforted. God reveals to us our guilt that we may flee to Christ and through him be set free from the bondage of sin and rejoice in the liberty of the sons of God. In true contrition, we may come to the foot of the cross and there leave our burdens. The Savior's words have a message of comfort to those who are suffering affliction or bereavement. Our sorrows do not spring out of the ground. God doth not willingly afflict nor grieve the children of man. When He permits trials and afflictions, it is for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. If received in faith, a trial that seems so bitter and hard to bear will prove a blessing. The cruel blow that blights the joys of earth will be the means of turning our eyes to heaven. How many there are who would never have known Jesus had not sorrow led them to seek comfort in Him. The trials of life are God's workmen to remove the impurities and roughness from our character. Their hewing, squaring, and chiseling, their burnishing and polishing is a painful process. It is hard to be pressed down to the grinding wheel, but the stone is brought forth prepared to fill its place in the heavenly temple. Upon no useless material does the Master bestow such careful, thorough work. Only His precious stones are polished after the similitude of a palace. The Lord will work for all who put their trust in Him. Precious victories will be gained by the faithful. Precious lessons will be learned. Precious experiences will be realized. Our Heavenly Father is never unmindful of those whom sorrow has touched. When David went up the Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered and he went barefoot, the Lord was looking pityingly upon him. David was clothed in sackcloth and his conscience was scourging him. The outward signs of humiliation testified of his contrition. In tearful, heartbroken utterances, he presented his case to God, and the Lord did not forsake His servant. Never was David nearer to the heart of infinite love than when, conscience smitten, he fled for his life from his enemies, who had been stirred to rebellion by his own son. The Lord says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Christ lifts up the contrite heart and refines the mourning soul until it becomes His abode. But when tribulation comes upon us, how many of us are like Jacob? We think it the hand of an enemy. And in the darkness we wrestle blindly until our strength is spent and we find no comfort or deliverance. To Jacob, the divine touch at break of day revealed the one with whom he had been contending, the angel of the covenant. And weeping and helpless, he fell upon the breast of infinite love to receive the blessing for which his soul longed. We also need to learn that trials mean benefit and not to despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when we are rebuked of Him. Happy is the man that God correcteth. He maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and His hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. To every stricken one, Jesus comes with a ministry of healing. The life of bereavement, pain, and suffering may be brightened by precious revealings of His presence. God would not have us remain pressed down by dumb sorrow with sore and breaking hearts. He would have us look up and behold His dear face of love. The blessed Savior stands by many whose eyes are so blinded by tears they do not discern Him. He longs to clasp our hands, to have us look to Him in simple faith, permitting Him to guide us. His heart is open to our griefs, our sorrows, and our trials. He has loved us with an everlasting love and with loving kindness compassed us about. We may keep the heart stayed upon Him and meditate upon His loving kindness all the day. He will lift the soul above the daily sorrow and perplexity into a realm of peace. Think of this, children of suffering and sorrow, and rejoice in hope. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The ills we see, the mysteries of sorrow deep and long, the dark enigmas of permitted wrong, have all one key. This strange, sad world is but our Father's school. All chance and change His love shall overrule. What though today thou canst not trace at all the hidden reason for his strange dealings through the trial season, trust and obey in afterlife and light all shall be plain and clear. Blessed are they also who weep with Jesus in sympathy with the world's sorrow and in sorrow for its sin. In such mourning there is intermingled no thought of self. Jesus was the man of sorrows, enduring heart anguish such as no language can portray. His spirit was torn and bruised by the transgressions of men. He toiled with self-consuming zeal to relieve the wants and woes of humanity, and his heart was heavy with sorrow as he saw multitudes refuse to come to him that they might have life. All who are followers of Christ will share in this experience. As they partake of his love, they will enter into his travail for the saving of the lost. They share in the sufferings of Christ, and they will share also in the glory that shall be revealed. One with him in his work, drinking with him the cup of sorrow, they are partakers also of his joy. It was through suffering that Jesus obtained the ministry of consolation. In all the affliction of humanity, he was afflicted, and in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. In this ministry, every soul that has entered into the fellowship of his sufferings is privileged to share. As the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The Lord has special grace for the mourner, and its power is to melt hearts, to win souls. His love opens a channel into the wounded and bruised soul and becomes a healing balsam to those who sorrow. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Blessed are the meek. Throughout the Beatitudes there is an advancing line of Christian experience. Those who have felt their need of Christ, those who have mourned because of sin and have sat with Christ in the school of affliction, will learn meekness from the divine teacher. Patience and gentleness under wrong were not characteristics prized by the heathen or by the Jews. The statement made by Moses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that he was the meekest man upon the earth would not have been regarded by the people of his time as a commendation. It would rather have excited pity or contempt. But Jesus places meekness among the first qualifications for his kingdom. In his own life and character, the divine beauty of this precious grace is revealed. Jesus, the brightness of the Father's glory, thought it not a thing to be grasped, to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Through all the lowly experiences of life he consented to pass, walking among the children of men, not as a king to demand homage, but as one whose mission it was to serve others. There was in his manner no taint of bigotry, no cold austerity. The world's Redeemer had a greater than angelic nature, yet united with his divine majesty were meekness and humility that attracted all to himself. Jesus emptied himself, and in all that he did, self did not appear. He subordinated all things to the will of his Father. When his mission on earth was about to close, he could say, "I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." And he bids us, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let self be dethroned and no longer hold the supremacy of the soul." He who beholds Christ in his self-denial, his lowliness of heart, will be constrained to say, as did Daniel when he beheld one like the sons of men, "My comeliness was turned in me into corruption." The independence and self-supremacy in which we glory are seen in their true vileness as tokens of servitude to Satan. Human nature is ever struggling for expression, ready for contest, but he who learns of Christ is emptied of self, of pride, of love of supremacy, and there is silence in the soul. Self is yielded to the disposal of the Holy Spirit. then we are not anxious to have the highest place. We have no ambition to crowd and elbow ourselves into notice, but we feel that our highest place is at the feet of our Savior. We look to Jesus, waiting for His hand to lead, listening for His voice to guide. The Apostle Paul had this experience, and he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." When we receive Christ as an abiding guest in the soul, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Savior's life on earth, though lived in the midst of conflict, was a life of peace. When angry enemies were constantly pursuing Him, He said, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always."
Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us. Happy Sabbath. Praise the Lord. God is so good, and He is worthy to be praised, and I just want to thank Him right now. We're going to offer a word of prayer before we get into our testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, praise report, and our prayer. Amen. Let us pray, please. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for another day. Lord, we thank You for Your holy Sabbath, Lord. Our body look forward to it, O Father. I thank You for this rest that we need so much, Lord. And without You, Lord, we cannot have that internal peace, Lord, that passes all understanding, Lord. I thank You for each and everyone on the prayer line. I thank You for blessing each and every one of us this week and bringing us to see another day to testify of Your goodness or even the trials that we overcome, Lord, through Your strength. Father, I ask that You will have mercy upon us and forgive us of our sins or trespasses that we have done or said that was not according to Your will, Lord. May Your will be done in our life, Lord. May You be with the youth, our children, grandchildren, brothers and sisters, Lord, our family as a whole, Lord. Be with them in a marked way, Lord, and let us be an example unto them in all that we say and do, Lord. And again, we thank You, Father, and we just glorify, we magnify Your name for this opportunity to come and praise You and glorify You, Lord. Let us fellowship in unity and love, Lord, and let there be no division, Lord. Let us come together on one accord, Father, to hear, to glorify Your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Amen. Again, thank you for joining us, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. Amen. 2 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 4 reads, "Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Also, John chapter 16 and verse 33 reads, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Just as Jesus has overcome the world, so likewise we can overcome the world, brothers and sisters. So let us be faithful in all that we do, as we do it unto the Lord and not unto man. Amen. If you have a testimony, prayer request, or scripture reading, please press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. I like to give everyone a chance to share. No, there's so much going on in the world today. It's and sometimes we can get distracted, but let us, you know, come to the Lord with prayer, with thanksgiving, with our prayer requests, with our word of meditation, encouraging words to one another. Amen. So let us come together to celebrate another Sabbath. Amen. And again, you can press 1 so that I can open your line. I'll read Psalms chapter 37. I'll start at verse 1. Psalms chapter 37, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herbs. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Amen. And we're reminded, verse 7, it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked device to pass." So we're not supposed to fret. We're supposed to trust in the Lord. And we know perfect love casts out fear. So the Lord will, take care of everything. It's nothing that's hidden that he doesn't know about. All these things he knew would happen. And it's just a matter of time before he returns for his faithful saints. So let us be amongst those. Amen. Okay, since no one has pressed one, if you don't have a prayer request, if you do have a prayer request, scripture reading, testimony, song of meditation, you can go ahead and press one. At this time, I pray that. Okay, I am being heard well. Amen. God is good and he is worthy to be praised. And I'll just read a devotion. Amen. I'll just read a devotion. Just a moment, brothers and sisters. Okay. Okay. And it says, the condition of Christian growth. Condition of Christian growth. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus unto the glory and praise of God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Where there is life, there will be growth and fruit bearing, but unless we grow in grace, our spirituality will be dwarfed, sickly, and fruitless. It is only by growing, by bearing fruit, that we can fulfill God's purpose for us. Herein is my Father glorified, Christ said, that ye bear much fruit. That's John chapter 15 and verse 8. In order to bear much fruit, we must make the most of our privileges. We must use every opportunity granted us for obtaining strength. A pure, noble character with all its grand possibilities has been provided for every human being. But there are many who have not an earnest longing for such a character. They are not willing to part with the evil that they may have the good. They neglect to grasp the blessing that would place them in harmony with God. They cannot grow. One of the divine plans for growth is impartation. The Christian is to gain strength by strengthening others. He that watereth shall be watered also. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25. It is not merely a promise. It is a divine law, a law by which God designed that the streams of benevolence, like the waters of the great deep, shall be kept in constant circulation, continually flowing back to their source. In the fulfilling of this law is the secret of spiritual growth. If we come to God in faith, He will receive us and give us strength to climb upwards to perfection. If we watch every word and action, that we may do nothing to dishonor the one who has trusted us. If we improve every opportunity granted us, we shall grow into the full stature of man and woman in Christ. Christian is Christ revealed in us. Amen. So to be a Christian, Christ should be, when we are a Christian, Christ should be revealed in us. Are we doing all in our power to obtain a body that is not easily enfeebled, a mind that looks beyond self to the cause and effort of every movement, that can wrestle with hard problems and conquer them, and a will that is firm to resist evil and defend the right? Are we crucifying self? Are we growing up in the full stature of men and women in Christ, preparing to endure hardness as good soldiers of the cross? Wow. So there's a standard we have to come up to. It's a mark that we have to come up to, not to be like men, other people, but to be Christ-like. We have to be able to endure hardness. We have to grow in the full stature. We have to know exactly where our Savior is, and we know He's in the most holy place interceding on our behalf, and we should be, you know, praying and confessing our sins to our Lord. Amen. And again, Christ should be revealing us, even in those times that we get upset, or when we want to get upset, we should remember, is this the way, or ask yourself, is this the way Christ will handle this situation? And we just probably need to take time to go and pray and to ask Lord to give us strength to deal with whatever the situation or the circumstance may be. Amen. Again, if you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, you can go ahead and press 1 so that I can kindly open your line. Amen. God is good, and He is worthy to be praised. I just want to thank the Lord for just His love for me. Just this week, well, one day and a half, the internet was out. And, you know, I was kind of upset because this it's a continuous thing with Cox. The internet goes out, and it's just a tedious thing, you know, to have to battle with internet and them trying to fix the problem. So, you know, I wasn't too happy, and I was kind of frustrated. So, but we know God is good, and He can help us to overcome these things, because these are just trial, and we know, you know, we'll have to give up all these things, you know, the internet, the phone, and go back to primitive godliness and just, you know, talk to God, and just, you know, if we have friends and family around, pray with them, intercede with them, read the Bible, and help others do missionary work and gospel work. Amen. I'll go ahead and open the line for caller who has pressed 1. Again, thank you for joining us, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. 508-838, your line is now open.
Happy Sabbath.
Amen.
Okay, this is the surgeon from Rhode Island. I just want to thank God for this day of rest and gladness, because if he did not set aside this day, we'd be working, and not taking a day to reflect upon God. So I want to say happy Sabbath to everyone, and I want to read Psalms 92, a psalm of for the Sabbath day. It said, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery upon the harp with a solemn song. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thine hand. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thy enemies, O Lord, for lo, thy enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like a horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and my ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." May God have his blessing upon the reading of his word. Not only should we be readers, but may God help us to be doers of God's word. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Richardson. Praise the Lord. Thank you for sharing that reading with us. Thank you also for joining us on the prayer line. Happy Sabbath to you, your husband, and your family. Amen. I'll go to the next caller again. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. Please press 1 so that I can open your line if you want to share. Amen. I want to give everyone a chance to share and to testify of God's goodness and to, let's encourage each other and provoke each other in love. And we know that iron sharpens iron. Amen. So the next line I'll open is 225-337. Happy Sabbath.
Close the door for me.
Amen.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. My name is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I want to say happy Sabbath to you all. And I just would like to share scripture, and I want to share something from Desire of Ages. And I just want to thank the Lord, first of all, for the Sabbath. As I was in my kitchen early this morning, I just was praising God and thanking him for blessing us with the Sabbath and just having us with a peace and a rest that we have today. But it's coming to a time that we won't have that peace and rest. And as we are preparing for that time, sisters and brothers, I just want to thank God for the moment of being on the prayer line to share and to also fellowship with my sisters and brothers. So I like to read from Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, and I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will also forget thy children." I'm going to stop right there, because I would like to read from Desire of Ages, and on page 61, it's in chapter 12, The Temptation. And I'm going to read this paragraph down at the bottom. And it says, when God written the words, when God written words was given, Satan studied prophecies of the Savior's advent. From generation to generation, he worked to blind the people to the things, to these prophecies, that they might reject Christ at his coming. At the birth of Jesus, Satan knew that one had to come with a divine commission to dispute his dominion. He trembled at the angel's message attesting the authority of the newborn king. Satan well knew the position that Christ had held in heaven as beloved of the Father, that the Son of God should come to earth as a man. Filled with the amazement and with apprehension, he could not fathom the mystery of this great sacrifice. His selfish soul could not understand such love for the deceiver race, for the deceiving race. The glory and peace of heaven and the joy of communion with God were but dimly comprehended by men, but they were well known to Lucifer, the covering cherub. Since he had lost heaven, he was determined to find revenge by causing others to share his fall. This he would do by causing them to unvalue heavenly things and set the heart up on the things of earth. And sisters and brothers, when I read that, I have to say, Lord, have mercy. Although the Lord do have mercy on his people, because he give us a chance to repent, and he's holding back the winds of destruction until we are sealed in the forehead. And this time, while the Lord is blessing us to repent and surrender self and deny self and seek him with all our heart and fall down with sackcloth and ashes fast. You know, at this time, sisters and brothers, pray for one another that the Lord is able us to do everything that he want us to do, not by our might, but by his might. So I just want to thank God for this reading, and also I want to pray for my sisters and brothers. So, Sister Carla, if you don't mind, you can come back and open my line, or I can pray now. So it's up to you. So thank you allowing me to. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, thank you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as your children come to you tonight, Lord, we come to thank you, first of all, Lord Father, for the gathering, Lord, together to worship you, to give you glory, Father, to praise you tonight. We just thank you, Lord, that we can come together and give testimony, and just to thank you for a week's journey, Lord Father, those that have worked, and those that have done so many things according to those that have witnessed, those whatever they have done to glorify you, Lord Father. We're just giving you thanks right now on this prayer line. Now, Father, we also pray for those that had been missing on this prayer line, Lord. From the heart, Father, we pray for our sisters and brothers that you bring them back to the prayer line, Lord, especially during this day, Lord, to come to testify of your goodness a whole week long that you allow us to come to the prayer line. You have blessed us and kept us through the week, and you have fed us all along, Lord. And, Lord, we still are not humble enough to come to say thank you. But, Lord, I give you thanks right now, Lord, for just keeping my husband safe, I talked to my daughter today, Father. I talked to my brothers and sisters Brother Richardson, Sister Richardson, Sister Powell, Sister Carla, I hear everybody on the prayer line. Lord, I'd like to talk to Brother Udy and Sister Melissa a little bit more often. Lord, many of my brothers and sisters on this prayer line like to just say, hello, how are you doing? And Lord, Father, be with each and every one, Lord. We lift each and every one up tonight to you, Father, to keep them, Lord, and their family, especially their children, Father, because we know what the Bible says, that the children will go out and share the word of God. We see what the young lady is doing. Lord, Father, help us to prepare our young children, Lord, to share the word of God. And Lord, I'm asking that you humble their heart and help them, Lord, Father, to surrender to you that they may give you glory. Father, I thank you for this prayer line. Lord, we ask him for your Holy Spirit tonight to lead and guide us, to be with us on this prayer line, Lord, and even to touch the hearts of some new people to press one and just say, they just say thank you. That's all you have to say, just thank you, Lord. Thank you for the prayer line. And so, Father, now I just want to ask that you come. Continue to bless the minister that will bring the word tonight, Father. I'm asking that you help him, Lord, Father, to show all the Lord in his heart and his doing, Lord, Father, in his ministry and his words and deeds, Lord, Father. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, for this prayer line and the minister that all the ministers that have come and that we have heard on this prayer line. So, Father, thank you in your son Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line, and may God bless everyone. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola, for coming on and sharing and also for offering the word of prayer. Praise the Lord. And thank you very much. May the Lord continue to bless you likewise. I'll go to the next caller again, brothers and sisters. If you have a testimony, prayer request, scripture reading, if you like to say a word of encouragement, just tell us about the goodness of God or just say, you know, praise the Lord, you know, for just being alive. Go ahead and press one so that I can open your line. We'll start shortly with the message. Amen. Brother Mozart will be on to bring the message. And we know that so much things are going on. And even in his country where he's from Haiti. And there is an unrest. There's so much is going on in Haiti and all over the world. And brothers and sisters, we keep saying, but we don't know how much we're, how close we are at the end and how things are going to get worse. It might, you know, get better, but, you know, it'll plunge right back down. So we have to be prepared. And may the Lord help us to get into that country living, that place where we ought to be. May our hearts be settled and set upon the Lord and his work, his righteousness, his goodness. And as we, you know, learning to do the work or, you know, training to be medical missionary or just giving Bible study or whatever it is that the Lord will want us to do at this time, let us learn these things and be faithful in all our doing so that we can please and serve the Lord. Amen. I'll go ahead and open the line for 985-232. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Good evening, everyone. Happy Sabbath.
Amen. Amen.
Thank the Lord for blessing us to see another Sabbath. I would like to read a verse. It says, Matthew 9:12, for when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I guess that's the end of it. I didn't see anything else. Amen. I just want to thank God for allowing us to see another day. And thank him for me recovering from my procedures that I had that was crucial. And, y'all, excuse the bad one. And they're always having a lot of problems. Keep them in prayer. And just want to ask for prayer for my grandchildren, which are very high, the 2 and the 4, and prayers for the rest of the family and friends and all the other family and friends on that Been Like prayer line, and all the help we have, and all the missing and absent people, and all the ones that are sick, and continue praying for the bereaved families all over the world, and praying for all those to come in and the fellowship, that we can continue lifting up the Lord and all coming in so we can make this a successful journey. So I got to continue myself. I stay lifting up the Lord if it's just me, you know, and because I know that I want to keep him in mind, that I'll need him constantly because there's so much going on. And I just want to thank y'all for opening up my line and passing to Brother John, and ask the Lord to forgive us for our sins, and y'all continue staying blessed. Amen.
Yes, this is John from Houma, Louisiana. Just want to say I hope everyone's having a good evening. Around the world, so morning, evening, noon, and night, different parts of the world. So I just want to also say that God is good, and those who just beginning and everything, I just want to say, go on and listen to the words. As like my wife was reading the Bible, and when they're preaching to you about the Bible, I just want to say as advice, some advice that it'll come clear to you. The more a person read to you about the Bible and you listen, you learn, it's the more and more to come more and more clearer. Just like when the morning comes, you start seeing the light and everything. Everything will start brightening up to you like a bulb come on in your head, like a bulb that's off inside your mind. And the Bible opens your mind to a lot of things. And that bulb will light up in your head, and you start to realize, notice, and appreciate what you're learning. And it'll take you a long ways, like the rest of your life. You learn from the Bible ways, and everything that's being taught to you, and your life will become more enriched. And not just by money, but I mean just enriched, like your way of living, your thoughts and everything. By the way your thoughts are, it keeps your mind settled and at ease and everything. So a peaceful mind is a wonderful thing. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's always a blessing to hear you, Brother John, and Sister Brenda to come on and share with us, testify of God's goodness and in your situation. May the Lord continue to be with both of you and the grandbabies, and know they're full of life and energy. And we thank the Lord, you know, for our kids and grandkids and family and friends. They're a blessing. So help us to be an example. May the Lord help us to be an example unto them. Amen. I'll go to the next caller. Thank you again, brothers and sisters, for joining us. 41919, I believe it's Elder Richardson. Happy Sabbath.
Yes, hello. Hi, good night,
Amen.
Everybody. Happy Sabbath. It's nice to hear Brother John. And everyone on the line, I hope our hearts has been truly blessed by the grace of God. It's been a wonderful week. And in spite of all what we encounter, we need to trust in God no matter what. So I'm thankful and grateful for the Lord for keeping me and sparing my life and my family also. That God is so great, and he is worthy to be praised. So I want to just sing this psalm, How Great Thou Art. And I know, as this song puts it, that when we truly are blessed by God, He's a God worthy to be praised. All right, so I hope our hearts will be blessed as we listen to this song, How Great Thou Art.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou And when I think that God, his Son, not Spirit, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. Then on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he came and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. When Christ shall come with clouds of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and dare proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art! How great thou art!
Thank you, Sister Carla. God bless. Happy Sabbath to everyone.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that beautiful song, Elder. Praise the Lord for your vocal and for you to use it in magnifying him. Okay, we will have a word of prayer. I'll say a word of prayer. We'll go into the message by Elder Mozart. Let us pray. Father, indeed, how great thou art. Lord, you are the creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, we want to worship you and praise you, Lord. Our minds can't even fathom, Lord, how you created this universe, Lord. Everything that we see was made by you speaking it into being, Lord. And you want us to have that type of faith, Lord, at speaking things into being, Lord, which we cannot see, Lord. But if we trust and we have faith, and if it's according to your will, we know that it will come to pass. Lord, give us the faith as the grain of a mustard seed, Lord. Give us wisdom and understanding. Take away the fear that we have in our heart, Father, for things that we're seeing coming upon the earth, and greater things will come upon the earth. Please prepare us, O Lord. We are not ready. We are not prepared. Prepare our children, our loved ones, Lord. Help us to get into that ark. Help us to be prepared and to stay prepared for your soon coming, no matter what may happen, Lord. If we will lose our life for you, let it be said amen, Lord. But if we will be amongst the 144,000, not hiding, but sharing the gospel, convicting souls for you, Lord, sending others straight to you, the throne of grace and glory. Lord, help us. Help us to seek you daily, Lord. Forgive us where we have failed and come short, Lord. There's a lot of people dying, hurting, suffering that do not know you, Lord. Please help us to do our part so that you will come forth out of the sky, out of heaven, Lord. Father, again, we thank you for this holy Sabbath day of grace. May we keep it holy, and we know we cannot do that within our own power, but only through you, that we can keep the Sabbath day holy and that we can be holy, Father. So you are a holy God, and you want us to be holy like yourself, and it is possible, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. We glorify, we magnify your name. Thank you for Elder Mozart, Lord, and the work that he's been doing, Lord. We ask that you will speak through him, Lord. Give him your word, Lord, to bring forth, Lord, as wellspring, Father, to this barren land, to each and every one of us on the line, that we may be fruits of righteousness, Lord, that we may be watered, and that we can also pass this word and this encouragement along to others that we come in contact with, Heavenly Father. We thank you ever so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I will go ahead and open the line for Brother Mozart now. As we know that time is fleeting us, I believe we have one more caller before I go ahead and open this line, and we'll get started right away. Amen. 518-409, your line is now open.
Good evening, beloved brothers and sisters, and happy Sabbath. This is Brother Yudi. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. I hope you can thank the Lord for his wonderful love and kindness. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Hello.
Are you able to hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, brother. Yes, we can hear you.
All right. I just want to say hello and a happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. We are calling from upstate New York. I want to thank the beloved brothers and sisters, Sister Carla, for calling in. I apologize that I couldn't make it tonight to speak, but I wanted to call and to just share a word of encouragement with you all tonight. We are actually, we have our beloved brother Anthony and Sister Vicky visiting our house, visiting us this weekend, the Sabbath, and that's why we're unable to, unable to be on. They just came to visit us, you know, where we are, and we are just so thankful to see them. We were just opening up Sabbath, and we were sharing a scripture on 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. A very familiar scripture, but one that merits us meditating upon even more than we do. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So God is telling us that we are not only chosen, but we are royal, we are holy, we are peculiar, and that we should show forth the praises of God who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want to thank the Lord for the Sabbath. It's been a long week for me, and I praise God for those who are joining us tonight. Sister Carla, keep our family in prayer. Tomorrow in our church is communion. Our friends are visiting, and we have a wonderful weekend planned. And we ask the Lord to continue to bless this prayer line. Thank you for hosting, Sister Carla, and God bless.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Yudi, and for coming on. And I know Sister Melissa is there too, and Baby Caleb, and for Anthony and his wife. Praise the Lord. And I pray that you all have a great Sabbath also, as I know you will be listening also. And I'm going to go ahead and open the line for Elder Mozart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Elder Mozart, your line is open.
Good evening, everyone, and happy Sabbath. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we can hear you well.
Amen, amen. I want to wish everyone a happy Sabbath. It is always a joy to come online and to break bread with brothers and sisters. I just want to reemphasize how much of a solemn opportunity it is for human beings. You know, in Job 25, verse 6, we are called, you know, Job says he's less than a worm. And that we have the ability to remember the Sabbath day, even when in our own flesh we cannot keep it holy. But if we will, if we let God do his work. You know, in Philippians 1 verse 6, we are told that be confident, knowing he that started a work in us shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to wish everybody, again, a happy Sabbath. I want to remind you all that everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that permeates every sense that God has given us, all these things are being documented. They are being added to the register in heaven. And at the same time, I am also admonishing all of you all too that the accuser of the brethren is doing the same. And in Revelation 12, I believe from verse 9 to 12, he is called the old serpent, Satan, the accuser of the brethren. And he is also making his own list so that he can stand before God and accuse and bring back our shortcomings to the forefront so that he can commiserate with us, or trying to prove to God that if we can find forgiveness and be allowed to heaven, into heaven, that he should also be allowed into heaven. But aside from this point, I just want to speak about a hot issue it is not the hottest issue out right now, but it is becoming a hot issue. And it is about this 18-year-old young man whose brother was killed by a Caucasian cop by accident. The cop entered his apartment and she fatally shot him. And now we are seeing the repercussions of what transpired, that she was found guilty and she was sentenced to 10 years in prison. And the young brother, 18 years old, got on a stand and extended forgiveness to this Caucasian cop. Now, the African American community is livid. I'm not saying all of the community, but a good part of the community is livid because the lady was given only 10 years for killing a black man in his own apartment. So, my brothers and sisters, I want to approach a chapter in Christ's Object Lessons that is called The Measure of Forgiveness. This is going to be the title of our talk for tonight, The Measure of Forgiveness. It is chapter 19 of Christ's Object Lessons. But I have one scripture that I want to speak from. It is also included in the chapter, but I have this one scripture that I want to begin with. But before I begin, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you as a sinner. I come before you as an inhabitant of this isolated world, this world which is in the abyss, separated, struck off the circuit of the universe. But Lord, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I can call on your name and still breathe. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you forgive my sins and that everything that I will say tonight may reach the heart of someone that may be hurting. And that, Father, they will be able to go forward and give the trumpet a certain sound. But be with us. Have mercy on us. Thank you for the gift of the Sabbath, a gift that identifies us as your people and you as our God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to look at Matthew 10, verse 8. Matthew 10, verse 8. Matthew 10, verse 8. Matthew 10, verse 8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. And then the key part of this verse is, freely ye have received, freely give. I chose this verse because I was I was on social media and there was a good friend of mine who I've known for some time, who was a pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and he's been very vocal about his frustration about how the whole situation between a Caucasian police officer killing a black man in his own apartment, getting only 10 years in prison. And he's been very vocal about his frustration about on social media, and I wanted to speak about it because I tried to approach him in a way to see why he felt the way that he felt, but he did not want to. Every way that I approached him, he would not give me a feedback. I don't know, but all he keeps saying is, what that young man did was a byproduct of a slave mentality. And he started enumerating all the injustices that the African American have been, our community has been the recipient of from our Caucasian counterparts. And I could not believe that a Seventh-day Adventist preacher who has been in the ministry for 27 years could choose social media, such a powerful weapon, such a powerful tool to voice such sentiments about the way that the world does justice. As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we know for a fact that this world has rejected Christ, and they have taken things in their own arms. You know, we read in Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 and 6. Says this: Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in men, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. The verse is telling us that anyone that takes upon himself to do anything, anyone that takes flesh to be his arm, he has put upon himself or herself a curse. And this is what's happening with the world. The world has rejected Christ, and now everything that the world puts its hand on turns out to be a curse. So it baffles the mind that a Seventh-day Adventist Christian would expect justice from a world that has rejected Christ. You know, in Jeremiah, I believe, I will look for the verse, but he is our God. Jesus Christ is called Lord, the Lord all righteousness, the Lord all righteousness. So if the world has rejected Christ's righteousness, is there another righteousness outside of Christ's righteousness? I don't think so. I do not think so. In Isaiah, now, in the book of Isaiah, I believe Isaiah 64, verse 6, we read that our righteousness are as filthy rags. Our righteousness are as filthy rags. So I'm bringing this up tonight because the people that stand behind the pulpit, they have an audience. They have a following. They have a circle of influence. And to hear a Seventh-day Adventist Christian pastor say that for a young man to extend forgiveness to someone that had killed his brother, to identify that as a slave mentality, it is a disservice to the Word of God, and unfortunately, it will bear fruit. It will bear wild fruit. Our country right now is the most polarized as it has ever been. I don't think we have ever been so polarized as we've seen this country. And it is the time for us. We have been given a message that is able to save, the three angels' message. The three angels' messages is the message for the hour. And it is a message that says we have to fear God and give glory to Him. So this young man gets on the stand and extends to a cop forgiveness. And he says that he did not even discuss with his family, you know, an extra and a bonus or what he would wish. Now, he wanted for this police officer that he wanted well for her. He wished her well, and that he wished that she would give her life to Christ. And then he says, because Christ has forgiven him, that he's forgiving this police officer, and you have people, you know, taking issue with this 18-year-old extending to somebody else a gift that Christ has given him. Where are we going when Matthew 10 verse 8 says that freely we have received, freely give? And if we have life today, it is because we have been forgiven. And every day is an opportunity for us to receive forgiveness. Every day. In Lamentations 3 verse 22, it says that it is because of your mercies that we are not consumed. It is because of your mercies that we are not consumed. How can we jump on the bandwagon, on the race bandwagon? And this good friend of mine is adamant that he is not being racist. He is not playing race card. It's just that it is unfair that so many African-American people have been mistreated by the justice system. And that now we are at a point where, I guess, you know, from what I'm reading from him, it looks like that was a perfect opportunity for African Americans to get back at a system that has been abusing, you know, people of color, and not serving them justice as it should, as it is extended to other ethnic groups. And it is a shame. I'm sorry to say that, you know, I pray, you know, I will keep trying to speak with this pastor and see exactly. There must be something underneath that Christ would extend forgiveness to a young man, and he takes it upon himself to continue to share what Christ has given him, and he extends it to another, and then for a pastor to be upset about that. I mean, we are not ready. We are not ready to meet our calling for what is about to come upon this world. If we do not want to give unto others what has been freely given unto us, then we are breaking one of the commandments. Because when you have, Christ doesn't give us anything to keep for ourselves. He uses us as channels. And it is through us that the world will see his goodness, his compassion, his love, his forgiveness. If he extends forgiveness to us, we are required. We are required to extend it to others. Luke 12, verse 48 says, to whom much is given, much is required. If a young man, 18 years old, finds that the forgiveness from Christ is too much for him to hang on to, that he needs, that he must extend to someone else, and he does it, and for somebody who calls himself a shepherd, shepherd of the flock, to say that is a slave mentality. My brothers and sisters, we are in deep trouble. We are in deep trouble because when somebody has influence, and especially when you've been in the field for so long, you've formed relationships, and people have grown to like you. They've grown to love you. They've grown to agree with you. And then you jump on such a sensitive issue to take Christ out of it and to say, but this is what this system has done. We cannot extend forgiveness to the oppressor. The lady happened to be Caucasian. She happened to be a police officer. She happened to walk into somebody else's apartment and shoot them to death. The case was tried, and she was found guilty of manslaughter. And people are up in arms. The system failed. The man's brother says, I forgive you, and I do not wish for you to go to jail. And we're upset. We're upset. The man that is supposed to be upset is not upset. He extends forgiveness. But we're on the other side. We're outside looking in. And we are more upset than the family that experiences, that is directly impacted by the tragic event. My brothers and sisters, we need to know that Christ uses us as a vessel, a channel, through which the world sees and benefits of his goodness, of his love, of his truth, of his forgiveness. In Matthew 6, we read, in that prayer, when the disciples asked, how should we pray? How should we pray? You know? And Jesus says, you know, he starts praying. And then he says, you know, thy kingdom come, in verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As we forgive our debtors. So Christ is going to forgive us as we forgive. As we forgive. So this is the time that I want to read a bit of Christ's Object Lesson, chapter 19, where it says, the measure of forgiveness. The measure of forgiveness. It says, Peter had come to Christ with the question, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. So seven times? The rabbis limited the exercise of forgiveness to three offenses. Peter carrying out as it's opposed to the teaching of Christ, sought to extend it to seven, the number signifying perfection. But Christ taught that we are never to become weary of forgiving, not until seven times, but he said, but until 70 times seven. That is Christ's object lessons 243, paragraph 1. Paragraph 1. But there was another part of the another paragraph that I wanted to read. It's the last paragraph in the chapter. I would love to read the whole chapter, but for time's sake, I'm going to read the first and the last. The last one says, we are not forgiven because we forgive, but as we forgive. And we just read it in Matthew 6. It says, the ground of all forgiveness is found in the unmerited love of God. But by our attitude toward others, we show whether we have made that love our own. Wherefore Christ says, with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. My brothers and sisters, I'm praying tonight, as we see this country coming undone, we see all factions, all groups, they already take on the other. Democrats against Republicans, religious versus secular, you name it. Everybody's turning on each other. And the devil is playing the game of divide and conquer. And the worst thing about it, he's doing it within Christianity, and he's doing it within the Seventh Adventist Church. And he's going to divide, and I'm afraid to say he will conquer. If we can't see the ruse of this enemy, and to call them from a mile away, by the time we take notice, it will be too late. It will be too late. Because if Christ, in his loving kindness, he sits on the right side of the Father up in heaven, and he's called a few to go and make disciples so that he can build Zion. And then we go into the world and we refuse to extend into the world what he has given us. And we are stealing. That's the commandment that we break. When they give you something to give and you keep it to yourself, that is stealing. You are given forgiveness. You should extend forgiveness regardless of the circumstance. Of our own, of the flesh, we cannot. But Christ says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Right? All things are past. And now all things are become new. I'm paraphrasing. So if we are to be Christians, the moment that we call ourselves Christians, then we are no longer to answer to our feelings, to our sentiments. We are to answer to the word of God, because the just shall live by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In 1 John 1 verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, if we just confess. And, we are to portray and to reflect God's character into the world. Even when the person is not repentant, even when the person is not remorseful, we are still required to extend forgiveness to them, because we receive forgiveness. In Acts I will read this one last verse. One last verse in Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35. It says, I have showed you all things, how that through laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is a blessing, my brothers and sisters, to extend to the world, a world that has rejected Christ. We read it in John 1, verse 11. Now, he's come into his own. It's not just to the Jews. He came to save the whole world. Because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That's what John 3, verse 16 says. He came to the human race, and the human race has rejected him. Now, he says that we are, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And then the fact that we've already received, and it is twice required of us to even give, because in giving, we are blessed. And the best gift we can give at this time, especially in, with this young man's situation, he no longer has his big brother. His big brother's dead. And he can look at the culprit in the eye. And he chose this platform not only to vent his frustration and his loss, but an 18-year-old young man, he chose that platform to lift up Christ. And he says to that lady, I just wish that you would give your life to Christ. You would give your life to Christ. Even if this woman chose to never go with this advice that young man gave her, but she has been given a testimony, and that testimony, it is going to be her choice to use it as a blessing or as a curse. Brothers and sisters, the world is about to come undone. We see everything going on around the world. We are to be without guile. We ought to be without God in our minds, in our mouths. We cannot go and use these gifts that the Lord has given us, that we can go and put a post that everybody around the world can read, and then we use it to play politics or to play race. No, we have to lift up Christ. Because he says in John 12, verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up on this earth, I will draw all men unto me. That's why Christ came. He came to save mankind. He came to save mankind. Let us be vessels for him so that he can extend his goodness, his love, his life to the perishing world. Instead of playing, race cards and all the foolishness of the world, is we have to rise above the world. Rise above the world. Revelation 4 verse 1 says we have to come up higher. He says, come here. Come up. Oh Lord, and my brothers and sisters, we are so blessed to have the word of God. And it is definitely a double-edged sword. I pray that eventually I get on the phone with his brother. And hopefully he changes his way of thinking, because you know there's a lot of people that are agreeing with his point of view, that it is a slave mentality for a black man to hug a Caucasian police officer who killed his brother, and to ask that she should not be put to jail. My God, mercy, mercy. I pray tonight. I know I did not get to finish reading the whole chapter of Christ's Object Lessons, The Measure of Forgiveness. If you have the time, Go ahead and read it, and you will be blessed. And that's going to be it for me for tonight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you allow the few words that we have spoken tonight, maybe to the edification of your church. And that, Father, if anything was said that is unbecoming a Christian, I pray, Father, for forgiveness, and I pray that you remove them from your work, from your books, and that, Father, you would remove them from the memory of those people that hurt them, and that your name may be glorified, Father. Everything that we do, let it be for your glory. Bless the night for those of us who are on this side, and then bless this time and the time to come for the rest of them that are on the other side. This sphere. Be with us again, Father. Thank you again for this opportunity to lift up you instead of this world. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder Mozart, for the word that you have shared with us. I pray that my brothers and sisters were encouraged. I just want to leave with you two verses. Psalms chapter 53 verse 2 reads, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and did seek him. And also Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 reads, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's the same thing we have to do in order to sit down, to go to heaven and to be with our Lord, to be saved. We have to endure the cross and despise the shame. Thank you again, brothers and sisters. Blessed Sabbath. May the Lord be with you richly. Amen. Thank you.